Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather here and listen as your word is proclaimed. We ask that we may not only witness but be witnesses to your resurrection in Jesus' name. Amen. So my youngest daughter is a senior and about to graduate from high school. And so in addition to all of the new beginnings that are going to be happening, we're closing out this school year, and that means there's also an ending of things. For those of you who don't know, last night was a senior prom, so we'll never have to do that again. But this week may well be, or may not be, the last of something that's been part of my family now for over 6 years. You see, in 2017, my oldest daughter, Rachel, while she was a sophomore in high school, came to us one Saturday night and said, "I want to try out for lacrosse." Well, I didn't know lacrosse was even in the South, but apparently it was a new thing, especially for girls. But there was a problem. Trials were Monday, and she didn't have a physical or a stick or a ball or anything. And so we said, no, you're going to have to wait. But I tell you what, if you're still interested when the season's over, we'll see what happens. Well, she was, because, see, she wanted to be on a team, and because lacrosse was new to Lexington, they weren't cutting anybody. And so, hey, you can't get cut, you might as well be on the team. And so that summer, she played summer ball. And that's when our family was introduced to lacrosse. And she loved it. And she played in the fall. And then when spring came, she tried out for the high school team and made it. And it was, well, it was interesting that year. It was the first full year and where our games actually counted. And the very first game, we played an exhibition against Chapin High School. Now, we had been watching lacrosse and summer ball all along, but for the first time, we actually witnessed a team that could play lacrosse. And they destroyed our girls. They were a 4A team at the school. We were a 5A school, and they made us look like kindergartners. It was bad. So the season, we did end up winning one or two games that year, and it was, you know, they were still new, and we were new too. The difference between parents in lacrosse back then and baseball, football, we didn't know the rules, so we couldn't yell at anybody. You know, go team was basically all we could do. So the next year, Rachel continued to play, and Mary Margaret, our youngest, she started playing too. But Rachel was the captain of the team that year, and there was a girl who moved back from Raleigh, who had been playing lacrosse ever since she moved away from Lexington, and she was good. And we only lost four games that year, only three in season. Two of them were to Chapin, and then one of them was to some school in Georgia, and then we made it to the second round of the playoffs and played Wando. Now, something y'all need to know, you heard. Because I'm convinced that those sports teams on the coast, they recruit their players. Because these weren't just any girls. These were professionals. And I mean, they were rough. And they were tough. And they annihilated us. The final score was 20-2. Yeah, I know. Second round of the playoffs. Chapin actually won the state championship that year. My girls, Rachel graduated, but Mary Margaret continued to play. She played the next year, which was 2020, when nobody really played. And then 2021 rolled around, and she was a freshman. So she was on the JV team, and the JV team was really good. And they were undefeated, in fact. But Mary Margaret actually got pulled up to varsity at the end of the season. Why? Because they had all of these COVID rules going on. And so if there was an exposure, then, you know, the team would be shut down for a week. Well, the JV team got shut down and the varsity team got shut down. But there were some people that did not have to be quarantined. And those were the people that already had it. And so the assistant coach, my my oldest daughter, Rachel, the JV player, Mary Margaret, and the head coach, Dennis Dodderer, had all been given COVID by yours truly, and so they could continue to go. You're welcome. And so she played, but the team struggled that year. 2022, we made the playoffs again. First round, Wando. 19-1. They won the state championship that year. Last year, made it to the second round. Again, for the second time in school history, went to Wando. But it was 18-8. Getting closer. A lot more goals. Wando won the state championship again. So there's been two nemesises throughout. And this week we start the playoffs again. This Monday we play St. Joseph's. More than likely, we will be fine. On Tuesday, unless the stars align or the world comes to an end, we will once again be going down to play Wando. Never beat Wando. But you know what? There's a difference. Because a couple weeks ago, Chapin beat Wando badly. You know who they didn't beat badly this year? Us. And part of that is because our girls now believe. They believed in the, now we played Chapin twice. The first game they destroyed us, and then they brought in a sports psychologist. And the second game, we were leading at the end of the first quarter, in the second quarter, and we really almost pulled it out. Why? Because those girls believed. And now we're playing Wando, who got destroyed by Chapin, and we're gonna go down there, and our girls, they are not going in saying, well, it was a good season before the game even starts. They're going, no. Our season's going on. And you know what's going to happen on Saturday after we beat Wando? We're going to beat Chapin for the first time in school history. And it's not just that I believe it, because what I believe is inconsequential at this point. I'm just a fan. I'm just a dad. And the announcer on the home games. That's been a lot of fun. But our girls believe that they can win. And if you know anything about anything, belief is a powerful force. And so I pray that this is not my family's last week of lacrosse, because perhaps, just maybe, the belief will be strong enough to carry us to a state championship, which gives us another week to see a stick in our daughter's hands. Because, well, she won't be playing at USC. But it's that belief. You know, if you watch the NCAA tournament, These no-name teams can pull out and win. You know why? They believe that they can. Because belief doesn't mean necessarily for sports that you will win, but the lack of it ensures that you will lose. Because again, belief is a powerful force. You know, there's been a lot of studies about the impact that it has on health and wholeness and recovery and success. And again, belief doesn't necessarily mean that it will happen, but disbelief ensures that it won't. Do you know that people with a positive attitude have a 50% greater chance of living for the next 10 years? That's a powerful statistic, isn't it? Belief is powerful enough to keep people going. The recovery rate of people post-surgery with positive attitudes, with belief that they can go on, is just staggering. Because belief is a powerful force. And we see that today through our readings. But we begin with something in the gospel lesson that's kind of weird. Because we've all heard of doubting Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas, you know, the one that didn't believe. And you probably heard about him last week at church, right? Those of you who are here, I was not. But those of you who are here, you heard about doubting Thomas. And every time we hear about doubting Thomas, it's always like, I can't believe Thomas. Man, he doubted. You shouldn't doubt. Well, this story's a bit different. Because what we have just before this is the road to Emmaus, and these folks were traveling along, and all of a sudden this stranger appears to them and then begins to tell them about it, and then they realize it's Jesus, and they get all excited, and they go and tell the disciples. And then and that's where we pick up today, and lo and behold, who shows up right there? Jesus. And what does it say? They were terrified in their disbelief. But Jesus is like, no, don't, no need to be scared. I'm not a ghost. Here, touch my hands, my feet. It's me. And then they said that they were still not believing. They were still struggling with this. And so he ate. And then he says at the end, you are my witnesses to these things. So what you got is a bunch of unbelievers, a bunch of doubters that Jesus sends out to be the witnesses. Well, that's not good. That doesn't seem like the kind of people that you would want to go out and be your main witnesses, is people that were struggling with people that were doubting, right? But then, I know it was the second lesson, the first lesson, and so it's way out of order, but in the Bible it's not. See, the Gospel of Luke has a second volume. Some of you may know this. And the second volume is the book of Acts. Same author, same stories. Okay? And so it's actually the continuation of that. And so what we are in the final chapter of Luke in our gospel reading. And then we're in chapter 3 of Acts. In which case, two apostles, Peter and John, are walking around. And they see this man who has been unable to walk his entire life. And they healed him. They raised him up, and he was able to walk. That's what happened right before our first reading. And then they walk into Solomon's portico with this guy that everybody in Jerusalem knew couldn't walk. And here they are walking in with him. And Peter says to them, why don't you believe? Look here. Check this out. But it's not us that did it. It was our faith in Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified, the one who was raised from the dead. That, my friends, is the power of belief. We start with these disbelieving disciples, the one that did not believe that Jesus was really there, the ones that didn't believe he was raised from the dead, and then just a little bit later, here they are doing things that only Jesus could do. Why? Because they believed. And belief is a powerful thing. Can you imagine what we can do with belief? What we can bear witness to, the way that we can change the world, if only we could just believe like that. But you know, we live in a skeptical time, a skeptical world, full of disbelief. We don't know what to believe, do we? I mean, except everything on the internet's true. But other than that, We're inundated with all kinds of news and things that we don't believe. And then as Christians, we are expected to believe what may be the most unbelievable thing ever. That someone who was dead was alive 3 days later. That's what we believe. That's why we're sitting here, right? Is in the absolute impossible, is that someone was raised from the dead. He died because of what we have done, which, by the way, is kind of unbelievable in itself. And then he was raised from the dead, giving us life and life eternal. What can be more unbelievable than that? So why do we believe? How is it that we are able to be here with any faith, with no doubt? Huh? Well, the truth is we do have doubt, don't we? Or maybe that's just me. And so how is it that we're supposed to do all these amazing things through Jesus if we doubt? Because who are we to be the witnesses in this world? Oh, sure, we can give out a little Jesus. But who are we? I mean, we're not good enough. We're not holy enough. We're not righteous enough. How are we to be those witnesses? We need proof, don't we? And where are we going to find that proof? Well, I'll tell you. First of all, you need to understand something. Jesus gives us the proof we need. And you know how I know that? Because that's exactly what he was doing for those disciples. When he showed up in that room, he didn't show up and say, "Why don't you guys believe me?" Without missing a beat, without even questioning why they were struggling with this, he showed them. He allowed them to touch them. "Here, my hands, my feet, feel it. I'm flesh and blood." And then he ate. More proof. And then he taught them. He gave them what they needed to believe and gain a belief so powerful that they could do amazing things. Well, my friends, you and I are also given the proof that we need. And you know where that proof is? The proof is in the people. See, the very fact that you are here today is proof that Jesus was raised 2,000 years ago. Because otherwise, there's been a lot of horribly misled, crazy people throughout 2,000 years of history. But not only that. So this weekend, it started on Friday. Well, it started even before that. I mean, Amanda Watson was doing videos and stuff. If you saw them, they were great. But all kinds of work was going in to the barbecue, to the vendor fair, to the disc golf tournaments. All these things were going on. And people were gathered and they were having fun and they were rubbing butts and scrubbing chickens and you know, just enjoying themselves and selling all kinds of great things. And you know why they were doing it? For no one other than the church. They weren't doing it for themselves. They weren't doing these things because they were getting something out of it. They were doing it for someone else. The very fact that we have people who are willing to step up and serve others for no reason is proof that Jesus is raised from the dead. Now, granted, I will also tell you that there are people out there who struggle to believe because of those same people. Because sometimes people can be judgmental. They can be sinful. They can be all kinds of awful things to people. But at the same time, the proof of the resurrection is the people. It's you and me. It's the one who are called to be witnesses to the greatest event that continues to change the world. And it continues to change the world through you and me. It doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that we aren't going to have our moments where we aren't exactly the best witnesses of all. But the reality is, you and I are called to bear witness to the greatest event of all time, the way that God showed his love for all of us by raising Jesus from the dead. Because of that, we have the promise of life and life eternal. Because of that, we can go forward. Because of that, there's no reason for us not to believe. Because through him, all is possible. Dear friends, God is calling us to amazing things. And there are times that the road forward is hard, and there's times that we're going to have our doubts. But when you have those doubts, just look around. Because the proof is in the people. The ones that God puts in our path. The one God surrounds us with. The one God calls children. Amen.